Thank you, worship mission team, worship team, and mission team. That was very well done. You're never going to look at your hands the same, are you? Are you fanning it? It's hot in here, isn't it? And I haven't even started preaching yet. Sweet. We're doing a series on saving faith, and this morning is destroying doubt. And I'll tell you right now, you're not going to get to your lunch at noon. So I'll just wash that. If you're doubting whether you're going to make it home, you won't by noon. So, destroying doubt. I invite you to turn to Romans chapter 4 as we're going to look at this passage. We've walked through this series and we've talked about worry and we've talked about how to save our faith and we've talked about fear, and today we have to look at destroying doubt because we need to destroy doubt in our life. How many of you have ever had a doubt ever before in your life? You doubted something or someone. All right, good. Show of hands. That's excellent. Wouldn't it be nice to be assured in this life that we wouldn't have any doubt? Well, the mission team showed you a little skit now that just showed you how you can be secure. And it's with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. A defendant was on trial for murder, and there was a strong evidence indicating guilt, but there was no corpse. And in the defense's closing statement, the lawyer, knowing that his client would probably be convicted, resorted to a little trick. He said, "Ladies and gentlemen of the jury," he said, "I have a surprise for you all." The lawyer said, and looked, he said, "Within 1 minute, the person presumed dead in this case will walk into this courtroom." And he looked toward the courtroom door, and all the jurors and were somewhat stunned. They all looked on eager anticipation. And a minute passed, and nothing happened. And finally, the lawyer said, he said, "Actually, I made up that previous statement. But you all looked on with anticipation. I therefore put it to you all that there is reasonable doubt in this case as to whether anyone was killed, and insist that you return a verdict of not guilty." Pretty good lawyer. The jury, clearly, they were confused. They retired to deliberate. And a few minutes later, the jury returned, and they pronounced a verdict of guilty. And the lawyer just went, "How? How could you do that? You must have had some doubt. I saw all of you stare at the door along with me." And the jury foreman stood up and he says, "Oh, we looked, but your client didn't." See, now, wouldn't it be nice if we could be that assured in this life and not doubt? How do you destroy doubt? You got to, first of all, you got to reveal God's glory. If you look at verse 20 of Romans chapter 4, look what it says here, speaking of Abraham. There are many moments in life where we doubt, where our mind just starts and we doubt. And I'm sure Abraham had times of doubt in his life. But this passage explains, 4 verse 20, "Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God." He gave glory to God. Now, I like that little part of that passage. Because we doubt whether we can do something. We doubt whether we'll ever get married. We doubt if we can get the job done. We doubt if we're ever good enough for God. Let me tell you something. Today, you need to destroy doubt. Because you need to reveal the glory of God in your life. Is there anybody here who can think of anything that God has ever done for you? Can you think of one thing that you say, "Oh yeah, God did that"? Huh? Joan and I were young. That was yesterday, by the way. Joan and I were young, and we were planning a trip to Expo in 1986. Yeah, I think I got the timing right. And we were in Bible college, and Joan was studying accounting, and I was studying, I don't know. And we planned this vacation because our friends lived in Vancouver, and that's where Expo was, and they needed us to come visit them, and we thought they needed us. And we wanted to be an encouragement to them. And so we drove from Karenport to Moose Jaw, and we got up money to go on this trip. We had to fill our car with gas. And seriously, I'm not kidding you, we had $50 in our account. $50. But we believed that God wanted us to go. So we drove to Regina. We filled up the car. We drove to Regina. That was when gas was like 20 cents a liter. Anyway, we drove, most of you don't even know what 20 cents a liter means. We drove to Regina, and we went to our pastor's house. We tell him what we're doing. We didn't tell him about our money situation. Didn't say how our money situation was. And we were leaving. Before we left, he said, oh, by the way, I forgot to give you this. The church wanted you guys to have this, and here's a check for $149. Man, we thought we were wealthy. And, in fact, have you ever been in that situation where you feel that, like, we felt that God wanted us to go, and then we started, what are we going to do? I mean, what are we going to do? How can we do this? I mean, we couldn't see any answer anywhere. Have you ever been in a situation where you just didn't see the answer? A lot of you are probably there right now. You know what? You don't have to see the answer. All you have to do is believe that God has got an answer for you. So we left our pastor's place, and we drove to Von Dursten, who's the director of Child Evangelism Fellowship in Saskatchewan. I worked as a volunteer there. I made plates. Joan helped me. We stained them, and as part of their follow-up program, and we put these plates on these shellacked plaques, wooden plaques, and we took some of those, dropped them off. And before we left, he said, oh, wait a minute, I got something for you. And he handed us this envelope. He said, just don't open it till you get to the car. You know, it's away from here. And so we get in the car, we're driving away. There was over $800 check in that envelope. You know what we did? We stayed home. No, we went to Vancouver. And I tell you, all the way, Joan and I kept saying, oh, God is awesome. God is great. And God, great. Let's give him thanks. Let's praise Jesus. Oh, wow. Whoa, this is fantastic. See, now, how did those guys know that we needed money? How did they? Did somebody talk to them? Yeah, I'll tell you right now, if God wants to get it done, he will get it done. Do you believe that? Do you believe if God is on your side that you can do anything? I mean, it may sound ridiculous that God wanted us to have a vacation, but listen, God knew our friends needed us there for encouragement. He knew that we needed to go. And I could tell you time and time and time again about people who just entered our lives at specific times for specific reasons to encourage us, and we know now that it was God who placed them there with us. With God on your side, you can do anything. You can do anything. I mean, if there's nobody but me and God, I can still do what God calls me to do, because with God on your side, you can do anything. And one of the ways that you can really conquer doubt and unbelief is when you have a new problem, remember the victories that you've had in the past and God looked after you. C.S. Lewis said it well when he said, we're not necessarily doubting that God will do the best for us. We're wondering how painful the best will turn out to be. See, that's often what we don't like, is the pain we have to walk through to get there. But don't talk about your problems all the time. Start talking about what God has done for you. That's what praise is. Talk about what God has done for you. Give glory to God. And I tell you, praise is such a powerful weapon to destroy doubt and unbelief. I mean, when you start talking about the wonderful things God has done in your life, you will destroy doubt and unbelief. Get with your friends. Talk about the great things God has done. I mean, we all have problems. There are times when we need to get together and we need to talk to somebody about our problem. I understand that. But we need to be very careful that we don't just talk about the problem, talk about the problem, talk about the problem, because then what happens is that we forget the good things that God has done in our life, and that our faith gets weaker and weaker and weaker when we really, if we talk more about the good things God has done and already done, then our problem would seem minor. Because then we know God's going to take care of that one too. I'm getting myself excited. Even if it don't get you excited, I'm getting excited. Careful, it's coming. How do you destroy doubt? You got to reveal God's glory, but then you also got to recite God's word. Now look at 2 Corinthians. Flip over to 2 Corinthians. It's in your Bible. 2 Corinthians. Here in Romans, just keep turning. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5, like this passage. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Who takes captive? We do. We take captive our thoughts. I want you to understand this. When we use this spiritual weapon, the Word of God, you will defeat your doubt. Understand this today. Matthew chapter 4 helps us understand the power of God's Word. I mean, Jesus is taken by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, and before he started his public ministry, the devil led Jesus, and he said different things to him, and he made promises to him on different occasions. The Bible says the devil said to Jesus, And Jesus said to the devil, "It is written." It is written. And then he quoted scripture. It is written. Three simple words in which hangs every emotion for our living. It is written. And those three words are simple to use. They help us defeat the very enemy that wants desperately to cause us unbelief and doubt. When doubt enters your mind, you say, "It is written." When unbelief enters your thoughts, you say, "It is written." You see, Satan wants nothing more than you. And if he can get you to stop thinking about God, he will do that. And he will try all he can to get you to doubt. You've got to start thinking right. That's why relationship with God is so important to our life. Let me help you understand that. It's so important. Think of this way. People say to me, you know, "Oh, a wonderful relationship that you have with your wife. Oh, you have such a great relationship, you and Joan. You must spend so much time together, doing things together, sharing together. You look so perfect." And then I say, "We don't spend any time together." Somebody says, "What? Well, how come? How come you don't spend time together?" "Well, you know, she doesn't really offer me anything. You know, I mean, our relationship isn't relative in my life at this moment." Or I say, "You know, she just upset me. I don't want to spend any time with her anymore. You know, if I never talk to her, if I never talk to Miss Bell, if I don't spend time with her, how can I say that I have a relationship with her?" Same as our relationship with God. We cannot say that we know God and not spend time with him. The importance of our relationship with God is priority to living the joy, joy, joy that Pastor Jeremy sang about. People search for that. They never find it. They search everywhere. They're constantly searching. "It's got to be here. Where is it? There it is. I found a book. It says joy in the front. That's my joy." There's only one relationship which provides what's needed to be the best husband, wife, father, mother, child, person that we need to be. Try God. Use these words every time doubt enters your mind. "It is written." Use those words every time you start not believing in God anymore. "It is written." Powerful words to destroy doubt and unbelief. "It is written." When doubt enters your mind, you doubt that doubt. Start saying, "Does this line up with the Word of God? Is this true in my life? It is written." Wake up. Decide to have a good day. Today's the Lord day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice, be glad in it. Dress up with a smile. Smile's an expensive way to prove your looks. Dress up with a smile. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart, 1 Samuel. Speak up with nice things and learn to listen. He who guards his lips guards his soul, says Proverbs. Stand up or you will fall for anything. Let us not be weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have given opportunity, let us do good. Galatians 6. Look up to the Lord. I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. Reach up for something higher. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge Him. He will direct your path. Lift up your prayers to God. Do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything, says Philippians. You know, you don't need to be trapped in doubt. You don't need to lament your future. You don't even have to trudge through today. You just have to quit doubting God and start believing that He can do it. Because He can. Take control of your thoughts. Choose to trust God only. Can you trust Him? Can you trust God? Can you trust Him enough to say, God, I reveal your glory in what I say and what I speak. I remember the past. I know what you've done for me. And I know you can look after my problem today. Because it is written. It is written. You see, it's written that my sins are forgiven. And God's forgotten them. And I'm not going to spend my day trying to forget what God has forgotten. See? That's what's written. Faith. We've all been given a measure of faith. But it's what you do with it that's important. I can't go without the Word of God in my life. You see, listen, I used to go without this word. I was a preacher. I mean, well, I think I still am, but I still am for a little bit. I'd study the Word of God for Sundays. I would open this up and I'd study different things, passages. Well, I'm going to preach on this for Sunday. But God wanted so much more because He had so much more for me. He wanted a relationship with me. Me! He wanted me. He didn't care how eloquent I could preach. I mean, God will get the job done anyway. But God wanted a relationship with me. Just like I had a relationship, I have a relationship, at least after today, with my wife Joan or my children. Understand that today. You can doubt all you want to, but you control that doubt. You can believe if God wants you to know that you can do that. The Bible says that we've all been given a measure of faith. And it's just where you've put it. Take every thought captive. We have the ability to take what goes in here and do something with it. You can either talk about your doubt, which makes it even worse and gives credence to it, or you can talk about it is written. It is written. God wants a relationship with you. You need to say, I'm going to make time to have a relationship with you, God. I make time for my buddies. I make time for things I enjoy. I make time for fishing. I make time to go to the beach. Listen, if you make time for God in your life, guaranteed, you will certainly enjoy your life more. Even the problems. But you've got to get the doubt and the unbelief out of your head. Today is the day for you to do that. Today's the day to say, I'm going to start looking at the good in my life, and I'm going to recognize that goodness is from God. God will enliven your life. He'll bring joy to your life. He'll bring peace like you've never known. And I will tell you right now, your life will never be the same. You will have more time when you spend more time with Him. You'll have more blessings in your life when you are a blessing to other people. I mean, it all sounds so weird, almost too wonderful. But it's true. Destroy doubt. Quit doubting. Start believing. In the God who's looked after you up to this point today. Let's pray. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, are you willing to destroy doubt today? The doubt that, oh, I can't do this. Or the doubt that, God never gives me anything. Why should I spend time with Him? Maybe it's the doubt that, I don't know if I should even believe in Him. Destroy that doubt today. Think about in your past how God looked after you in a particular situation. You all have one. Every one of us knows of a particular time where God did a miracle. It may even be an accident that was prevented. Or maybe an accident you're in. You weren't even hurt that much. It could be something to do with your marriage. Maybe even something to do, I don't know, with your divorce. Sounds silly. But you see where God has protected you. It might be you, young people, it might be some time in school for you. You just say, oh man, yeah, Lord looked after me there. He gave me the words to say at just the right time. You know of a situation where God had his hand in it and he looked after you. Recite God's glory. And you also know that it is written in his word that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God created you. He wouldn't have created junk. He doesn't do that. Just look at the flowers. Look at the birds. And I'll look at them and go, how beautiful. That's how God looks at us. How beautiful. God loves you. And he wants nothing more than to destroy the doubt and unbelief that enters into your mind. Will you let him do that today? Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're willing to say today, God, I'm going to start talking about how you looked after me. And I'm going to start talking and praising you. I'm going to start, Lord, referring to your word when I start doubting. I'm going to go into the Bible and start reading some stuff there. I'm going to read, it is written, it is written, it is written. If you're willing to make that time for him today, make that promise to him today. If you're willing to destroy doubt that way today, just lift your hand up. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, lift your hand. Lord, bless you, 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 Lord, bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. God sees all those hands. Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Father, this morning as we sat here, we had a wonderful morning. Lord, lots is going on in the life of your church. Lord, we know that doubt can enter our minds, even right here today, but God, we don't want any of that. We want it to stop now. We believe you. Lord God, we believe you. We believe you're the God who can repair our lives. We believe that you're the God who can bring joy to our heart. We believe you, Lord, that you can remove the pain, the problems, everything that's going on in our life. You can help us, Lord, look at them through lenses that you give us instead of our own foggy lenses that we put there. Lord, as the doubts enter our mind, Lord, we know that we have the ability to take those captive, that we can take those and surrender them to you. And you can look after it, God. We believe that today. And we believe, Lord, you're not only Lord of this church, but you're also Lord of our lives. And we thank you for how you've cared for us, how you've looked after us, how you've protected us, how you've brought us joy, how you've given us words at moments where we don't even know what to speak. God, thank you. Thank you, thank you. We praise you. In the name of Jesus Christ, be all glory and honor forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you.